Thanks for listening. Prophecy Today is a listener-supported ministry, and this information is available because of the prayers and donations of people just like you. To make a donation, go to prophecytoday.com/partners or call 877-674-3298. And remember to keep looking up until.
All right, let's go to David Dolan from his vantage point in Jerusalem. He's able to give us insight into news coming out of that part of the world. We're going to cover the peace talks in just a moment, but David, a couple of late breaking items I want to look at first. There has been an announcement that the Israeli Defense Force is ready to be able to attack and destroy Lebanon's army within 4 hours. What's the latest on that?
Well, Jimmy, that report comes amid another today that Israel is preparing to attack the Lebanese Hezbollah militia's arsenals located in Syria as well as in Lebanon. And that is some long-range missile sites and some other sites inside of Syria, actually deep in Syria, that Hezbollah controls with Syrian connivance. Well, as all I can say is the reports here are saying that this is very possible and that it would probably be responded to with a full Syrian attack against Israel response as well as Lebanon. So we're looking at the possibility of a full war. The report about Syria comes from a Kuwaiti newspaper, which is says it's based on Western diplomats who've been studying the situation. They've noted that Israeli reconnaissance flights, these are pilotless drone flights, have increased substantially, or so they say, over both Lebanon and Syria in recent weeks, and that Israeli forces have been beefed up considerably along the borders with Lebanon and Syria. And I was up there about a month and a half ago and saw myself that there was a substantial Israeli military presence even then. So if it's been beefed up, it really is substantial for sure. Of course, the Israelis are not going to confirm or deny this, certainly not confirm it. But, you know, they're very, very worried about Hezbollah and its military forces. And, Jimmy, we had a report from another Arabic paper that Defense Minister Barak was ready almost a month ago now in early August to launch a major operation against Hezbollah when, of course, the Lebanese army shot at Israeli soldiers. You remember that incident,
right?
And the UN confirmed this week that it wasn't Israel's responsibility. Lebanon had started that. It was unprovoked. They weren't over the border. So he almost did that because they realize at some point they're going to have to deal with this huge missile arsenal that Hezbollah has. And so there may well be something brewing here, and the next days or weeks will tell.
Yes, we'll stay on top of that story. But there's another late-breaking story. Some anti-aircraft missiles found in the Sinai on their way through the tunnels into Gaza. What's the latest on that one, David?
Well, yes, they say 190 fully assembled anti-aircraft missiles and rockets were found in the central Sinai by Egyptian security officials. They believe they were due to be smuggled into the Gaza Strip. There was 100 anti-aircraft shells, 1,500 bullets of various sizes were also found there, and some drugs, some hashish and some other drugs. And they believe these were all bound for the Gaza Strip. Of course, we have these underground tunnels, illegal smuggling tunnels down there that Egypt tries to close, and Israel bombs occasionally, but they do operate. They can also get some things in by sea along the coast occasionally. So another sign that Hamas is preparing for a major war. Hezbollah seems to be. Syria seems to be. That other report said Syrian forces are on full military alert. And I can tell you the region remains very tense. And despite all the talk of peace, it looks really like we're very possibly on the verge of something very dramatic in the realm of war.
You know, David, it's almost ironic that we're going to now conclude our conversation together talking about the beginning of the peace talks in Washington, D.C. This seems ludicrous to even be thinking about peace with all the action that seemingly is put in place right there around the borders of the state of Israel. But let's do talk about those talks just for a moment. In our team coverage, I'll be talking with Winky Medad. We'll talk about the practical aspects of these peace talks because he lives in the area that would have to be given up if indeed the Palestinians get their way at the talks. And we'll be talking with David Wilder. He has written a satirical report about the peace talks. We want to bring that to the attention of our listeners. We'll do that in just a moment. But talk to me about the political aspects of these peace talks. Is this a dangerous path for Prime Minister Netanyahu to take to go to these peace talks? Is he going to be under pressure to cave in and then have problems with his own coalition government there in Jerusalem?
Well, Jimmy, I actually wrote an editorial this week published on Wednesday for WorldNet Daily, and that was the theme. And I said, you know, we had Bill Clinton 11 years ago twisting Netanyahu's arm when he was first prime minister to pull out of Hebron. That resulted in an increase of terrorism and an election that he lost to Ehud Barak. He offered the moon to Arafat, but Arafat said no, and we have the second Palestinian uprising. So I'm saying in that article that once again we may well be springing trouble, a conflict, terrorism here instead of peace by the new Obama administration pushing this thing forward at a time when there doesn't seem any basis for it at all. The Palestinians divided, Hamas controlling a third of the people down in the Gaza Strip, Hamas and Hezbollah supported by Iran, Iran saying they're that Israel will be destroyed, pursuing a nuclear program of some type with their ally Syria. It's anything on the ground but a recipe for a successful peace process. And, of course, on top of all that, Jimmy, we have the expiration in just a month, September 26, of this 10-month moratorium building freeze that Netanyahu agreed to under strong administration pressure from Washington. And he's already vowed to his coalition partners he will not extend that freeze. So he either upsets them and risks the coalition he has and going to new elections like happened 11 years ago that he lost, or he sticks to that and the Palestinians walk out of these new talks. They've already said that's what they're going to do. So these talks look doomed to failure from here, and I'm not the only one saying that. That's a lot of members of the cabinet are even saying that. So it seems like not only a stupid idea, but the worst possible moment for the Obama administration to be pushing this. And many here are a little bit suspect of that. Why are they pushing it to this moment? Why did the Palestinians wait until just a few weeks before this moratorium is to expire to say they would go to direct talks? Many here believe it's because they want them to fail, and then they want to blame it on Israel. It's intransigent, et cetera. And, you know, that's a recipe for more conflict. And I'm afraid that's the likeliest outcome.
Do you believe that the Obama administration would basically like to take down the Netanyahu administration there in Israel and try to deal with a new government in the near future?
Well, that's what it looks like. I mean, they're either completely ignorant of the situation here, which they're not. They have a lot of intelligent people over here, the embassy here, et cetera, and the ambassadors that come here certainly know what's going on. And so it's either that or they do want to see, they're pushing now because they do want to see Netanyahu out of power. And the thing there is, this happened 11 years ago. He was followed by Ehud Barak, who the Labor Party leader, who did give in to all of the demands, basically, that Arafat was making, and that still wasn't enough for the Palestinians, and they went to the second uprising. So if that's the strategy of the administration, current administration, it seems to be a repeat of history that is likely to lead to the same outcome. Mahmoud Abbas is not that strong, not as strong as Arafat was, certainly not as popular, and again, he doesn't even control a third of his own people that Hamas ruled down in the Gaza Strip since they seized that area by force from the Palestinian Authority. So, yeah, it just doesn't, it seems ridiculous here. And in light of what's happening from Iran and Hezbollah and Hamas allied with them, it seems not only ridiculous to many people, but very, very dangerous.
Well, we're going to have to keep a close eye on Washington, D.C. Even if they start the talks, they do not seem like they're going to last very long. David, you brought to our attention the Palestinian Authority hard line on the freeze. That's to be at its time of ending, September the 26th. The the people, the Jewish settlers who are going to be hurt mostly by this freeze, are really upset and concerned about it. We'll be talking in just a moment with Winky Medad. He's one of those Jewish settlers in Shiloh. We'll find out what his thoughts are about this peace process as well. David, always a joy to be able to talk to you, get the insight that you give us. Thank you so very much, my dear friend.
You're welcome, Jimmy. Take care.
Thanks for listening. Prophecy Today is a listener-supported ministry, and this information is available because of the prayers and donations of people just like you. To make a donation, go to prophecytoday.com/partners or call 877-674-3298. You can also send your donations directly to Prophecy Today, P.O. Box 2510, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37409. Thank you, and remember to keep looking up until...